And welcome back. If you just listened to our best of 2014, you have now entered the worst of 2014, at least according to Brian.
They had to go take a break.
Yeah.
Because that was a long one. We haven't had a long one like that in a while. I haven't had a long one like that in a long time.
As we promised, these are our worst films of 2014. And I have a list that's like 16 deep, but I'm going to cut it down.
I hope so.
But what happens if you pick some of these? Because they're ripe for the picking.
Oh, I'm sure we're going to have some. You know, I don't know. I think one of them, of course, is going to be a duplicate. But I don't know about some of the others.
Oh, well, see. Now, okay, how did you pick your worst, Brian? Did you do the same way you picked your best?
Yes, I did. The ones that when I, like I said, from the first podcast, half the stuff that we see, I don't remember a week after. So I looked at my calendar, my itinerary, and if I could remember it, if I went, oh, I like that one, that made my best list. If I went, ugh, I remember that one, made my worst list.
There were some pretty stinky movies.
Yeah.
I'm talking... Tusk did not make my list.
Really?
Did not make
That's
my
the
list.
One I figured we'd both have.
Oh, no.
It made my list.
Oh, okay. Well, tell us about Tusk.
Well, Tusk is Kevin Smith's movie. I was about to say Kevin James. They're both fat. So it was Kevin Smith's movie, and it was basically a movie that he did that was made on a dare. He created it through one of his podcasts. He told his listeners, hey, look, if you fund this movie, I will make it. I dare you to give me money to make this movie. And they did, and he made it. And it is Justin Long, and I can't remember the other gentleman's name. Tom is pulling it up right now. But basically, Justin Long is a podcaster himself, along with Haley Joel Osment,
yeah.
Who... he's not in the movie that much, but...
Well, he's his partner.
So he goes to interview some kid in Canada who ends up dying, so he needs to find someone else to interview, and it's this guy who basically wants to turn Justin Long into a walrus. And...
Right. No, well, the thing is, the podcast is all about stupid people doing stupid things.
Yeah.
And so he found this guy who accidentally cut off his arm... Or legs or something. Yeah, he cut off his legs with a samurai sword, and so Justin Long's going to go and interview him and prove what a schmuck he is. He has killed himself, and now he's got to find somebody, and he finds this mad scientist.
Yeah, Michael Parks. I see.
Okay.
There. But the script is awful. The humor is horrible. Johnny Depp, I think, makes an uncredited role and is just so hackish and just so awful. I mean, you can tell that there's no plot for the movie, or what plot there was, it should have been a short. It should have been a 40-minute short, not a 1 hour and 40-minute feature.
Yeah, it was... it's definitely one of those movies that...
It was
that,
painful.
Well...
Painful.
No, well, there's quite a few on this list that were painful. To me, I was looking at that thinking, oh my God, his fans are going to probably eat it up and think it's absolutely hilarious.
That's
what did
what
Bethany
say?
Did Bethany like it?
You know, I didn't ask her.
Because
I don't know if she's a Kevin Smith fan.
No, but she's the type that she likes these culty kind of films and finds some kind of charm with them. So we got to
ask.
She'll
be the test, yes.
We got to ask.
Yeah.
I just think it's so horrible that it's going to earn some sort of right on the cult classic list.
I don't know. And you know I love that kind of stuff.
I know. And it was hard to get through. But, yeah. Okay, also hard to get through was Annie. Let's just start with that one. This is the great musical from the 70s. It's had two previous incarnations.
I think it was like 1980 or 81.
No, it was late 70s.
All right.
Yeah, because I turned...
Oh, I'm thinking the movie.
The movie was 82.
Oh, okay.
That was the Carol Burnett version.
Yes.
Then there was a Kathy Bates TV version, which was directed by Rob Marshall and is actually an excellent version of Annie. But it went on Disney TV. So now here it is, this updated version directed by one of my favorite directors. I don't have it up right now because I'm a schmo. But the other things that this guy has done, I've really liked. He did Fired Up. He did Easy A. Will Gluck. He's a decent director, but he should not be doing musicals. No. Don't let this man ever do another musical. No,
it wasn't for lack of talent, because Jamie Foxx can sing. Bobby Cannibal. There is that name again.
Cannibal.
We'll just call him Bobby Cannibal.
Okay.
I mean, he's a Broadway veteran.
Yes.
He's done so much. He can sing, he can dance, he can do it all. He can even shower nude.
And still look like a gangster.
Yeah. Right.
Rose Byrne.
I love her.
And then the little girl that was in the...
Kovanzine Wallace.
Thank God. She was in that Beast of the Southern Wind trash from a few years ago, but she was really good in it, you know, because she's just a child. And
then there's that other thing, but we won't mention.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, we will. Cameron Diaz. Cameron Diaz had 3 movies out this year, and 2 of them are on my list.
What was the 3?
The Other Woman.
Yeah, that one. That's
Sex Tape.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Yes, which is on my list.
I think that was on my list I took it off.
I like The Other Woman, actually.
It's on my list.
Oh,
yeah,
good.
Yeah.
So here she plays Miss Hannigan as
a sexy drunk.
A hooker. And it's terrible. Yeah, she's so miscast in this. It's ridiculous. They've tried to make this updated. They've cut great songs. There is nothing good about this movie. Nothing. Except the people who said no when they were casting. That's the only thing.
Yeah.
The only positive I can find. This movie is trash. Well,
it starts out with a little bit of choreography. You're not quite sure what they're going to do. I mean, they're kind of doing a hand jive type of thing. And then they kind of drop that after the first 2 songs. There's absolutely no choreography.
No.
What little there is at the end, it's just kind of extra swaying in the background.
Yeah, and you jump up and you stand on the bench and throw your arms up. Then you jump off the bench and run across and throw your arms up on the next. It was stupid. Yeah. Yeah. And, I've seen this movie I've seen the play on Broadway. I've seen both other incarnations, and this is by far the worst of them all. If you can avoid Annie at all, you'll be doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Okay, what's on your list?
So,
you want to go to Sex Tape since we're stuck?
Yeah, why not?
Since we're trashing Cameron Diaz.
Yes,
okay.
Sure, why?
I don't know.
We get her out of the way.
I feel bad because this poor woman is entering her 40s, and we're doing what Hollywood does, and that is we are trashing older people who are trying to be sexy, but she's not sexy.
That is exactly it. She is not sexy.
She was okay in Bad Teacher. When she's washing the car, that worked, okay?
But the movie itself was, I think, a little bit better than what she's
putting
out.
A hell of a
now.
Lot better. Yes, absolutely.
But I don't know. I mean, I don't understand why she doesn't try and do serious. Well, it's obvious she can't.
Well, and Bad Teacher wasn't that good of a movie.
No,
so that shows
you
how bad Sex Tape is.
No, but yeah, you're right. I mean, she was always kind of a sex pot, but she won't let that go. And there's nothing wrong with an aging sex pot. I think that Sharon Stone back in her kind of crossover days was fine. And I'm
Sophia Loren.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, they're even Meryl Streep. In Into the Woods, when she changes from that's what I'm saying is that you've got women in their 60s who are sexier than Cameron Diaz.
Well, yeah, it's just unfortunate that that's what she's trying to cling to, and it's just not working for her,
because if you look at The Other Woman, she was the sex pot.
And that made my
it.
List. Again,
it
that one made my list,
yeah,
too.
Okay, yeah. But here she's trying to play sex pot, and it's only going so far because she's not sexy.
No.
She's just not sexy anymore. And
even in The Counselor, which came out last year.
I'm so glad I missed that after you told me about that scene.
I mean, it's she. And the funny thing is, part of it was the script, but part of it was her. is she plays this femme fatale, and it would have been the perfect role for someone her age. It was supposed to be an experienced, and I'm making air quotes for people who can't see me, it's supposed to be an experienced, you know, older woman, or middle-aged woman, or a woman on the verge of middle age, however you want to cast Cameron Diaz as, who has world-weary, knows how to use men, and but uses it well, and is still sexy, and is still desirable.
Like a Sharon Stone.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But throughout the whole movie, her idea of sexy was to, you know, kind of peek out the top of her sunglasses and go, ooh, that turns me on. That's not sexy.
It's not. Well, I already knew it wasn't going to be sexy because it's Cameron Diaz. And the thing is that I've always kind of liked Cameron Diaz for her comic talent.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can still be funny without trying to be the sex pot.
Yeah. When you got a role that is written for someone her age and she still can't pull it off.
Well, but I'm talking with Miss Hannigan is not supposed to be. I mean, the whole joke was Carol Burnett or Kathy Bates. They're trying to look hot for the, you know, the guy coming to inspect the orphanage. And it's like, okay, that's the joke. They don't look hot.
Yeah.
That, you know, and here she's trying to look hot and you just kind of feel sorry for her.
Right. It's almost like you can feel her going into the first reading or, you know, the first meetings and going, let's make my character sexy. I want to do it sexy. Yeah. Let's be sexy.
I want to be prettier than Carol Burnett. Yeah. You know, since we're updating, we need better fashion and hair. And it's like, you're poor. You don't have good hair. You don't have good. Just stop it, Cameron. Okay. So. We keep jumping between three different movies. This time.
Yeah.
Cameron Diaz. All... This is her year. Yeah. Although but I
the
did...
other woman, I really hated that one just because it's one of those awful, awful female-oriented comedies that Hollywood seems to just kind of throw out there going, okay, here's one for you ladies, where you've got movies on the other end of the spectrum like Obvious Child, which is a wonderful, brilliant, lovely, female-oriented movie.
Right.
That is enjoyable for everyone. Then you got shit like The Other Woman, which, I mean, it's just terrible. And it's almost misogynistic in the way that they portray these women. They don't get along.
What's that? There's a poll, or not a poll, but there's some women devise this where certain movies, women need to talk...
Oh, that Bechdel test.
Okay, right. And this is one, the other one was a perfect example. There wasn't a scene in that movie that they weren't talking about a man.
No, it was all about the man.
The man. But that's where they have to go with female characters in Hollywood. Well, that's where they think they need to go.
Right.
You know, and because that's worked before.
It's just, it's horrible, and it's insulting, and it's insulting that we have to sit through this crap.
Yeah. But, I mean, seriously, well, gosh, I was going to say Sex Tape was the worst one, but Annie's the worst of the Cameron Diaz movies. So we'll leave
And we never really said anything about Sex Tape, so we might as well round that out with Sex Tape.
Well, the problem with Sex Tape is here's a couple, they accidentally make a sex tape and accidentally send it out to everybody they know, and they're trying to retrieve the
video,
the video, or whatever it is, and it ends up going.
It ends up going
to an X tube or somebody like that who's going to post it, and then their lives will be over. And so, of course, what they do is they pack up the kids and go deal with gangsters. Which was a classic bad movie business where you're taking a kids in their bed costumes.
Right.
What is that? Pajamas. Bed costumes. Oh my god. They're in their pajamas.
Like Charles Dickinson.
Yeah. Right. The kids are in footsies, you know, and they're going in and dealing with guys with machine guns. It was ridiculous. We were just sitting there amazed that this movie was actually being released.
Well, and it's completely unsexy. I mean, there was one and unfunny on top of the fact. I mean, I think the only scene that I remember genuinely laughing at was the Rob Lowe type scenes. And that's because he's a fantastic actor and he was able to pull it off.
Right.
But the rest of it was so unfunny, and it was rated R, but you wouldn't have thought it.
No.
It was rated R for the language, not because of the sexuality. No,
well, actually, they're sitting naked. We don't see anything on them. They've got furniture positioned.
Right, and we know
that
Jason Segel is not afraid to...
To show.
Right.
Yeah, so let's just stop.
And Cameron Diaz needs to keep it covered up.
That's right. Okay, another one that made my list was Foxcatcher.
Oh, yeah. Well, that didn't make my list.
Wait. How could it not make your list? Talk about sitting and watching nothing happen for a long-ass time, and then when it does finally happen, the credits roll 5 minutes later.
That one was more disappointing than I think later. Bad. For me, at least.
Oh, God. This one was...
But I can see how you might...
Yeah, this was Steve Carell, Channing Tatum, and Mark Ruffalo. DuPont... What was his first name? Doesn't matter.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
One of the DuPonts was this crazy bastard who... he's got so much money, he's like Michael Jackson, no one says no to him. So he's decided that he wants to build his own...
Olympic wrestling team.
So he can go and win an Olympic medal, because if the whole team wins, then he would get a medal as well.
Yeah.
And there's even scenes where he's trying out the onesie himself, and they're paying off guys to let him win.
Yeah.
And so there's this... There seems to be like this strange fascination between Steve Carell and towards Channing Tatum, which we never touch upon. We get the creeps, yeah. But we never that's never engaged. It's never really mentioned in the movie, even though it
yeah.
took
and it's
place.
Not like you can turn around and have some, and maybe some snooty critic would say they're just being subtle. Not everything needs to be spoon-fed to you, don't you know? But it's not even that. They completely gloss over.
Well, it's just glossed over, so it's not a gay movie. That's exactly what it is. Then they can keep the three guys on the poster together because it's not a gay movie. But that was such an important element because it was gay. I mean, he was sexually abusing Channing Tatum's character. This is a real story.
Yes.
He was sexually abusing him. His brother didn't realize or look the other way at that this was going on. And Channing Tatum's character doesn't do anything about it because this man's paying all his bills.
Right.
So, which would have been a much more interesting story.
If they would have made the movie based on what actually happened.
Yeah.
And all the apeshit crazy stuff that...
I mean,
DuPont actually did. I mean, he was... Nuts.
Yeah, DuPont's at one point his mother dies in the film, which is not a big deal. But he releases all our horses, and he had just received a machine gun, and so you're thinking, okay, he's going to slaughter the horses. Which I don't know. I haven't looked it up, but I guarantee
he probably didn't.
He did. I know he did.
He did.
Well, because they covered it up.
Maybe.
He gunned down all those horses because. His mother loved the horses better than him. He was a nut job,
he thought he was the Dalai Lama.
That would have been such a much better movie had they focused on just how crazy this guy was.
Oh yeah,
Carell would have had so much more fun with that. Instead, it's all Carell looks like he's about ready to take a dump through the whole movie.
He's
constipated through the whole film. He's just waiting for it to take place. Channing Tatum just broods. Mark Ruffalo. It looks pretty, and that's about it.
Yeah,
he doesn't. They don't give him anything to do. Yet he's the one getting all the nominations.
Yeah. Well, I don't think Channing Tatum. I mean, I didn't mind Steve Carell's performance. Channing Tatum, I don't think had the talent to pull it off. And Mark Ruffalo. Well, it's Mark Ruffalo. He can do anything.
He's that talented that he can take kind of a stinky role in a good role in a stinky movie and make it Oscar worthy. So. Foxcatcher, avoid at all costs. Don't listen to what the other critics say. They were all oozy over what was it, Toronto Film Festival, and it was like, oh look, there's major stars in a film festival movie. Oh, we like it.
Watch
like
the trailer and just leave it at that.
And look, the guys are here, and we get to meet them. I like this movie. That's how these movies get good reviews. I'm sure of it. Okay, what's your next one?
So one of my worst movies of the year was Nut Job.
Nut Job on mine.
Okay,
that's my worst animated film of the year.
An early movie, an early cartoon starring.
It was January.
I could see his. Now I was bad.
Liam Neeson.
I'm trying to think of the lead character. His name is married to Amy Poehler. Anyway, it'll come to me like 10 minutes from now. And it's a squirrel that is wants to hoard all the nuts where all the other park animals are trying to make it through the winter. He wants to do it all by himself. And the thing I think that kills me is that there was a cast of 15.
Will Arnett.
Thank you. Yes. Cast of 15 separate individual characters that played into the plot.
Major actors,
yes,
too.
Yes, big major Hollywood movies.
Yeah.
Blockbusters don't have casts this large.
Right.
And it was completely boring. I don't...
And, I know, slept and, through the whole thing. That's...
I don't. Yeah, see, and I can't imagine any child sitting and watching this and being entertained.
You realize they're making a sequel.
Of course they are.
Oh my God. Well, first of all, it made $64 million domestically. I don't know how that happened. I mean, maybe it's because people like squirrels. Because I remember sitting there, and the movie started, and I just dozed. Every once in a while, I'd wake up, and there's a squirrel running, and there's a dog that was and a woman, and there's a bank robbery.
It was a convoluted plot. Too many characters. It was not one of those groan out loud horrible movies like Sex Tape, but it was just a complete and total failed effort and a waste of time.
Yeah.
And just awful.
Yeah, I remember we were yelling in the car a lot of the time. one that I was really disappointed in was Tammy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was Melissa McCarthy plays Tammy, a burger slinger who can't hold a job, and she's a mess, and so she's tired. She goes home, and her husband's cheating on her by eating a meal with a neighbor.
Yeah,
that means they're having sex together, I guess, and maybe in the old days of filmmaking, they probably did.
I don't know.
Exactly. So she's decided to go on a road trip with her.
She goes to her mother's. Alice and Janie's house,
which is right next door,
who's probably the same age.
Well, no, she's about seven, eight years older than her. And then her mother is played, Alice and Jennings' mother is played by Susan Sarandon,
yeah.
Who's actually old enough to be probably, yeah. But so Grandma and Tammy go on a road trip and do a lot of unfunny things.
Yeah, and that's the thing is that Melissa McCarthy just kind of going into Will Ferrell territory. And
her husband was the one that directed this.
Yeah.
And so she produced it, and he directed it.
And Will Ferrell produced it.
And it was just, let them do whatever they want. You know, it's their movie. And unfortunately, if you go back to St. Vincent, where Melissa McCarthy actually has a director that's telling her what she can and can't do.
Yeah.
She gives a nice reserved performance.
Oh, she's a good actress.
Yes.
And I think that's why this movie is so frustrating is because she just does whatever that she thinks is funny and it's not funny.
Right.
And...
Well, see, and the problem here is the same thing that Will Ferrell and Jim Carrey have, and that is they do these ridiculous comedies where they lose all credibility for a big box office,
yeah.
And then they do something dramatic and go, oh, they don't love me because they don't think I'm a good actor. Oh, I never get an Oscar nomination. Well, you know, you got to think about that. What do you want to be, a movie star, or do you want to be an Oscar winner?
Right.
And you can't play the game of, I want to make lots of movies and big box office films, and then go, why am I not getting any... any awards, and that's what it is. You got to make a decision. You want to be an actor, or do you want to be a movie star?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that one was unfortunate. Yeah. This one I didn't make your list. I don't know if you actually saw this one or ended up seeing one, but Under the Skin.
No, you told me not to.
Oh, it was so bad. It was so boring, and I was so much looking forward to this one. It was Scarlett Johansson as this kind of predatory alien who would drive around and pick up men to take him back to her apartment or whatever it was, and then she would. It was implied that she'd basically eat them or something right. like that.
Or they dissolve into her
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, and it was so boring, and the lighting was so bad, and it was basically just her driving around with this horrible kind of noisy music in the background. It was the most boring thing that I've ever seen. And then it turns into... From this, what you would, again, call subtle, maybe, if you're really trying to blow smoke up its ass, then it turns into this, the ending kind of goes Hollywood, where she's being hunted down, but still very slowly. And it's just the most, it was horrible, horrible. And I had such high hopes for it.
Right.
An art house horror film? What? Come on.
Oh. Oh, sorry. That was me. Oh, no. Yeah, I don't listen to Harry Potter.
So yeah, an art house horror film. I thought, oh, I was so excited. I was so excited for this movie, and what a steaming pile.
Yeah.
Awful.
Well, that's what, because I know a lot of people who saw this, because I was working in the video industry, and we were trying to sell this movie, so everyone's like, oh, I can't wait to see it, and they bring it back going, what a pile of crap. Wow. Yeah. Oof. So yeah, I mean, everybody I know that saw it agrees with what you're saying.
Yeah.
Now, one that I remember, it was once again, it was like March last year. It was the new Johnny Depp movie, and it was called Transcendence.
I almost put that one on my list. I had to look it up.
Oh, okay.
So I thought, I couldn't remember it.
Transcendence is about Johnny Depp is like this great mind who gets assassinated, but they take his brain and squeeze it into the computer. Drain it, you know, it's like a lemon squeezer, yeah, over, and his brain goes into this computer, and of course, it's your standard, oh, now that I'm a god,
right.
I can do anything, and you know, it's just, they were doing this in Star Trek episodes, in the 60s, yeah, it's just bad,
and it was not good.
No, it was boring. And I remember Morgan Freeman at one point was questioning on screen why he's in this movie. it's a really terrible movie. It's out on, I think it's HBO now or Showtime. One of them has it. Avoid it. Just yeah. Avoid it. Or actually, at least you can start watching it and then turn it off. That's
we didn't nice have thing. That luxury.
No, we just, it's, they really don't like us getting up and leaving the theater. We only did that a couple times this year. What, any more from you?
I do. I have Labor Day.
Okay. Now, Labor Day, if you remember, was supposed to come out in 2013. It was actually even nominated. Kate Winslet was nominated for Best Actress in for Labor Day for last year, for 2013, but then it wasn't actually released until 2014. I remember they released it right before Valentine's Day.
Is that when that came out?
Yeah.
I don't remember all that, but I mean, I remember you saying that Winslet was nominated, and she did an okay performance. I mean, the movie, the performances themselves were fine. James Brolin was good, Kate Winslet was good, but the movie itself was like an art house.
Josh Brolin,
what did I say?
James.
Oh, sorry.
Daddy wasn't in there. Babs wouldn't let him do that movie.
Yeah. Don't embarrass me. It was an art house Nicholas Sparks movie.
Yeah.
I mean, it's built up to be this kind of artsy romance movie, and it's nothing more than a pulpy, awful, just Nicholas Sparks
movie. What do you call that syndrome? When you fall in love with your captor?
Stockholm.
Yeah, it's all about... Josh Brolin has escaped from prison, and he's holding her and her son in their house hostage. And she's sleeping with him in a couple days. It's like, okay, this is Stockholm. I mean, granted, it's Josh Brolin, but still.
Yeah.
And then they have like, these cameos from a couple actors that...
I can't remember. Was it Edward Norton or someone? That was another big name that showed up at the end for like 5 minutes.
Well, yeah, and remember the next door neighbor was J.K.
Simmons. Yeah.
And he goes, oh, I got some peaches. Okay, that's the end of it. and he leaves. And it's like...
You can see them handing a check as he walks off
and he never comes back. What happened? So, it was just... not good.
But, yeah, the story wasn't good, and then it was really long. And I know the thing that bothered you the most is that day one, day two, day three, day four.
You know,
and then we got to Labor Day, and then a day five.
Yeah, and then it goes day after Labor Day. No, it's not fair. It's called Labor Day, not the day after Labor Day. So yeah, that was. I yelled pretty loud. Sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. But and then the peach pie making scene.
My god! The three of them are making this peach pie, and it was supposed to be like sexy, but their son's right there with his hand in the pie too. It was a mess of a movie.
Yeah, Josh Brolin is standing behind Kate Winslet and rubbing up and down her arms. I think at one point he even takes two fingers and sticks it into one of the peaches.
Oh, stop! He did not do that. He did not do that. Okay, another one on my list. See, I'm like looking at this going, which one do I really... Well, okay, real quickly, Maleficent, did it make your list?
No, it did not.
Okay, now Maleficent, which was, you know, Angelina Jolie... playing the Wicked Queen from Sleeping Beauty. The beginning of the movie is beautiful and interesting, and the ending of the movie, which it goes really quickly, but yeah. there's like an hour in the middle where Aurora is growing up, and Maleficent's watching her and falling in love with her. How could she, you know, put this poor girl to death and so she becomes her fairy godmother, and it was so slow.
Yeah.
Brian's asleep. Yeah. I'm trying to figure out what the hell's going on because they've jerked the story around so much.
Yeah, yeah. That was one of the big... I mean, I can understand with the whole, you know, Wicked thing and knowing what it's like from the other person's perspective. But Wicked doesn't pervert the story, and I mean pervert not in the sexy way. Wicked doesn't pervert the story as much as Maleficent did. I mean, they really twisted it around to try and cram this Maleficent isn't evil thing down the story's throat. And it just, I mean, they really had to make a stretch for it, which kind of ruined the movie. And then, of course, there is this huge, long stretch of watching Aurora grow up, I think in real time.
Oh, my God, yeah. Because, I mean...
It was like Boyhood.
Yes, it was. You know, here's... Oh, look, Aurora's playing in a meadow. Oh, my God, really? And, oh, look, here she's playing in the fort. It was bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, and I'm a real Disney-phile, and I don't want to own it. Because I won't watch it again.
No.
You know, actually, I might watch it again when it comes onto one of the... pay cables or something, but I won't pay for it.
Oh, no.
I mean, I'm not going to pay cash for that thing. No.
Absolutely not.
Another one. Well, see, I've got a bunch that are just awful.
I've only got one more.
Okay, what's your one more?
And So It Goes.
Oh, it's on my list.
The Diane
Keaton movie. Oh, no. I have As Above, So Below.
Very different. Yeah, yeah. I thought about As Above, So This Blows. I should be on there, Ass above, but anyway, And So It Goes. It's Diane Keaton and
Michael Douglas.
I was about to say the other old guy, Jack Nicholson. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
And it's just one of those geriatric love stories, which you know, I mean, it's. I say that rudely, but a couple years back we had Meryl Streep and Alec Baldwin. I can't remember what that one was
Steve
called.
Martin. Yeah, that was...
But that was very good. That was a good movie. I enjoyed that. But then you take these two geezers and put them on a screen, and I can't stand what they're doing with Diane Keaton in the past couple movies that she's made, and we'll not talk about
I know.
But she's just so... They've made her almost senile in an effort to make her loosey-goosey and funky. She's like a crazy old lady now.
Yeah.
All she needs is like a dozen cats.
Right.
This movie is just horrible. It's, what's his name again? I'm sorry. Michael Douglas, awful character. It doesn't build into anything. It doesn't go anywhere. It was painful to watch.
Well, and the storyline is just so simple.
Well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Michael Douglas's son is going into jail, so the daughter, his daughter, and Michael Douglas's granddaughter, who he's never met, gets dropped on his doorstep, and Diane Keaton is his neighbor, and so he keeps dumping it on her.
Right.
And this is the whole story.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And I just recently watched Annie Hall again it's been years. And because at first I thought, well, I just don't like Diane Keaton. I like Diane Keaton in Annie Hall. And I'm sure some of her stuff later, if I were to see it, I might enjoy it. But later stuff.
See, she all seems the same to me as from Annie Hall to this. It's just she's a different wacky than she was in the 70s. Now she's, you know, in her 60s, I guess. And she's a different wacky. And I can see, and I know you don't like it. And I'll let you have that. Not gonna. And I put as above, so below, or as above, so blows. Blows,
yeah.
Which was another found footage movie. And this was actually, I think, the only one we saw last year. What, footage? Actually, I saw a couple others, but they were just awful. And I don't want to even mention it. Sacrament. Terrible. but as above, so it blows was just a terrible movie. It's like they had no idea. They just had a set. Hey, we got this place where we can film this. How does this sound? Okay, because when it ended, an entire audience, and we're talking 300-400 people, all went, oh, okay. You know, you got a hit on your hand when that happens.
I think the thing that was most offensive about that movie is that they had all these. They just threw shit at you going, isn't this freaky?
Yeah.
And it didn't go anywhere.
It
didn't mean anything.
People are walking around underneath the catacombs
of Paris.
And no one questions, hey, who was that guy that just walked by?
Right.
I thought no one was supposed to be down here.
Right.
No one ever does that.
Yeah.
They don't go, who are these people?
Yeah. No.
That's stupid. Now, I know, let me just mention the rest of these. And I'm sure Brian can. Now, Brian didn't see Winter's Tale, which was Colin Farrell and.
We split duty that night.
Yeah, that was. You went to see About Last Night.
Yes, which was good.
Yeah, and I went to see Winter's Tale, which was not. And it's just, believe me, I could go into it, but it's just awful. Just an awful movie. And with big stars in it. You also, Gladiator, Russell Crowe, and Will Smith.
Oh, well, Will Smith right there.
Yeah, and of course, and Will Smith plays the devil, and he's talking like Will Smith does today, and this is the late 1800s, and then it jumps 100 years. Why am I even talking about it? We also saw Sin City 2, which was expected to be as bad as it was, I think.
Yeah.
Because the first one was interesting, but how were they going to make that better? Yeah, they didn't. Legend of Hercules. Now, this is not the Rock one. This was the one with...
I almost put this one... why did you... Kellan Lutz.
That's right. He shouldn't act.
He is...
You know, get rid of Justin Bieber and those Calvin Klein underwear ads. Put Kellan Lutz in there,
yeah,
and that's the way he can make a career.
He has no talent whatsoever.
Yeah. Then there is I, Frankenstein,
which I forgot came out this year.
Yeah, and it is
Aaron Eckhart.
Yeah,
correct.
It was another one of those those movies with the vampire werewolf movies. The ones that they've been pushing out for the last few years. It's just another one of those. They, of course, he's Frankenstein. He lives forever. He gets involved with, I think it was it goblins and werewolves? Or I know there were vampires in there. And it was just, I made it maybe 45 minutes into the movie, and I thought, I'm not reviewing this. Why am I watching this? It was on HBO after like 3 seconds at the theaters. Terrible movie.
Yeah, no, it wasn't in the theaters for long at all.
And then Pompeii, which was... it's just...
But the one...
It's
the
so hokey, and the acting is so bad that it's almost worthy of watching.
And that came out in January or
February. No, it was out in April.
Was it?
Yes. It was either March or April.
Well, it should have come out in January.
Right, and the thing about this is, if you don't know, Pompeii was destroyed by Mount Vesuvius exploding. No one survives. So the whole time, they're going, oh, mommy, I don't want to marry him. I want to date this guy over here. And they're going, no, you're going to marry that guy. And I'm thinking, I don't care. You're all going to die. I could never get past.
Well, that they're all gonna didn't die. Think everyone was gonna die. I mean, I knew the story. I know what happened, but I figured that they were gonna at least have them survive, not die the way they did in each other's arms, so that you know there's.
Ugh, just a minute. God, I haven't eaten since like 3 or 4 hours now, and it almost came back. And then, you know, I've got, I didn't like Jersey Boys, but it was fine, I guess. And Need for Speed.
Oh, Jersey Boys wasn't.
Need for Speed you liked, but I didn't like either of those. Neither
one should have made a word.
I know, that's why I'm just mentioning them in passing.
But Jersey Boys just was unfortunate that Clint Eastwood, I think, was probably the problem there.
I don't know, because American Sniper, he was so...
No. Clint Eastwood, I like him as a director.
Or is this another Will Gluck thing?
Yeah, where I think that's
the
where...
director should have been Rob Marshall, who could... Yes. Or somebody who knows how to take from screen to...
Yeah, I don't... There was something wrong with that movie, but we've talked about this endlessly, and we can't put our finger on it, and I think it's... has something to do with the lack of charisma in the lead and a combination of that and Clint Eastwood directing.
Okay.
Otherwise, I don't
think... And then the only other one that really was disappointing to me, which was Magic in the Moonlight, which was Woody Allen's new movie. Because it had Colin Firth, it had...
Emma Stone.
It should have been good. I tell you, if I could take that script, put it... Give another director that script, this could be a very, very good movie. This could be Bullets on Broadway kind of funny.
Yeah.
And I don't know why Woody Allen walked through this, because he missed every element that could have been really, really funny. He just let go by. So Magic in the Moonlight, only because the possibilities, the script was good.
Disappointing.
The direction was not there. So that's it for this year. For 2014. 2015 it looks like it's going to be a better year.
No, we'll see.
It's going to be a better year. Definitely better box office. We'll see if all of the hype for 2015, because we've got the new Star Wars coming out, we've got a new Avengers coming out. Pixar's got a new movie, which I'm excited that they're, because they took a break in 2014.
Yeah.
And when have we not been without a Pixar in the top 10?
Right.
Yeah. So.
Well, Brave.
Oh, it was in my top 10.
Was it?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. So that's it for this. Next week we will be back. We'll be talking about American Sniper. We'll be talking about Paddington and the. What is it? The Wedding Ringer?
Yeah.
Yes. Those will be next time right here on Swarner and Judd Review. Thanks a lot.